Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Central Perk. Tunde here, I'm with me, my gracious co-host. It's been a while, and this episode we'll be talking about 2024 so far. And it's actually so crazy, we're just in the fourth month, and before we started recording, we tried to like recall the projects, or like the movies and shows we've seen this year, and we're actually surprised by the shows that came out this year. It seemed like they've been out for such a long time, and we were surprised to find out that they actually came out this year. So, let's see which show we'll be starting with. What do you think, Abdullah?
I mean, I guess the movie we should just start with Gentoo.
Okay.
What was the first movie we saw this year?
First movie?
Yeah.
I can't really say. I don't know. Movie, yeah. You know, it's very difficult. I don't see movies like that. I watch shows.
Yeah, that's
like
why it should be easy to. No, I mean, movie you want to see in cinema.
Oh, in the cinema, I think the first one probably Dune. Oppenheimer was last year. I think before Dune, Oppenheimer was my last movie.
The last spot that we spoke, we raved about Oppenheimer. So like, that's not good yet.
Yeah,
I feel like Oppenheimer has forced me for movies. I don't watch movies that much, and like I saw Dune 2, and Dune 2 was very good actually. Maybe it's just because Oppenheimer was coloring my head. Was coloring my memory.
No, I mean, I really enjoyed Dune 2.
Dune 2 was amazing, actually.
The crazy thing
upon reflection.
See, I went to see Dune 2 in the cinemas, but I didn't enjoy it that time because I made a mistake. It was the day we finished the exams.
Yeah.
And, you know, mommy, I hadn't slept for like a couple of days before that day. I hadn't slept. And then that night, my guys were just like, we just finished the exams, yeah, I need to go out. And then we left and went to go see the movie around like 11:30 p.m. Guy, and that environment was too comfortable. It was cold, the chairs were comfy. And guy, I blinked and I didn't understand what was going on in the movie anymore. So like, I kind of wasted money that night. But like, I still got the idea of the movie. And even though like I slept through half of it, I still felt how good the movie was. Sure, like when it came out recently, I think this week. And I downloaded it and I watched it again. The movie
did
was actually...
Sir? Did what?
I downloaded it.
From where?
Don't worry, I don't want to incriminate myself, but... you know, I saw the movie again.
I also saw
the movie again, and it was actually...
No comments as to where I saw it, but I saw it.
Sir, fair
and,
enough.
You know, it was great, actually.
Yeah, it was actually very good. I'm going to say, in part one, there was a lot of gist throughout that movie. And I mean, I don't mind when you're just in the movie.
You didn't watch it again recently?
No, I did. I rewatched part one before I saw part two.
Yeah, I saw Dune like recently.
There was a lot of gist in part one, and you know there was action, but I love the fact that they tried to like balance it out in Dune part two. There was enough action to like keep you excited, and there was just enough gist to, you know, stimulate your mind. Sharp, Dune part two was actually calm. Something in particular that I liked was, well, as serious as the movie was, there was like a comic part of it, which I don't know, it might have like flown over like a couple of people's heads, but it was about how the fanatics, like Stilgar in particular, how obsessed he was with Paul Atreides being the Lisan al Ghaib. You know, there were scenes where, Paul Atreides, he constantly, like, he tried to debunk that prophecy of him being the Messiah and the promised one or something. And Stilgar would just be like, he's too humble to admit that he's the Lisan al Ghaib. That is typical. It is typical of what the Messiah would do. Like, it was actually so crazy. And the movie was actually, it was somewhat deep. It showed you, like, what religion can do to people. Like, how it can brainwash people and make them do things that the ordinary wouldn't do. And it also showed how much religion thrives in... what type of community would I call that? Like, in places where people are somewhat suffering because...
Well, the quote or something like that, that nothing can exist there without faith. That on the southern reaches of Arrakis, nothing can exist there without faith.
Oh, fair, because the part is somewhat inhabitable. Exactly,
like,
yeah.
So like, part of the
to tell you how crazy, like, their living situation is.
Where life is hard, you
other like, is it other civilizations apart from the Fremen? They consider that part of the planet uninhabitable.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
They don't even explore it at all. They know that Fremen people or like Fremens, they live there, but they write it out as being uninhabitable. So it's only the Fremen that can survive there because, I mean, they are from that planet and over time they've evolved and they've adapted to the conditions of the planet. But sure, that's to show you how terrible their living situation is. And something else that is crazy about religion on that planet. You saw the part where I think James was killed and they put his water back into that well.
Yeah.
The guy said they had like
deca liters
of water. Mm-hmm. And that planet
it's not really about religion. What's the idea is that they have all this water, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the plan is that they want to use this water that when the Messiah comes, that's going to help them to use all of this water to transform Arrakis back to a paradise. You know, at the end of the movie, what did Paul say? When Stilgar was like, we are waiting for others.
Lead them to paradise.
So the idea is that, I don't know if you remember, at some point during the movie, they mentioned that to transform Arrakis back into a paradise, mm-hmm. like for Arrakis to be green again,
mm-hmm.
for things to be green. So that's like the plan for the water. I can't remember.
Exactly. I'm wondering how they even want to do it.
But I think that's like it. Like terraforming now, kind of like use a lot of technology and everything. Yeah.
Because that's what I had in mind. Like.
Yeah, because in like the books, I don't know, maybe because I've read the books or maybe it was the first movie, I don't know. But I have it in my head that Paul said it at some point that, you know, that if I was emperor, that with a wave of my hand, I could transform Arrakis back into a paradise. Like when he was describing to Shani, that's
like water and
explaining that notion. So I like, how Arrakis was like really good there, because like the way she was like
the surprise
in her voice, that she was like he was describing an ocean. So I was like, okay, Arrakis is a desert planet, and he was like describing to her, was trying to describe to her what an ocean is. She was like, that, tell me about your home. It was like that, okay, that on Calydan, that look at the desert, that just try and imagine water
mm-hmm. as far as you can see.
It was like that, okay, our castle is on the cliff top, Madris, let's go. Reason up. It's like our castle is on the cliff top, and if you jump from top of the castle,
you can't reach the bottom.
And she was like, and like the way she was so surprised, the way she puts it in her voice, like she has actually never heard of an ocean before, like as if she's actually from Arrakis. Like I believe that, like it was crazy.
And a little part of that movie that I appreciated, that I don't know if a lot of people noticed. Even though Arrakis was a desert planet and it was all sand everywhere, you know, they somehow made that sand look like water. Especially when they were like, is it surfing the...
when they're riding the worms. Yeah.
Because the way those worms move through the sand,
if you look at it, it's like moving through water.
It was actually calm, like the juxtaposition of the two ideas. Like, it's actually calm, to be honest. So, yeah. Dune Part 2 was very good. I think there is a TV show, Dune Prophecy, that is supposed to come out this year. But I'm not sure, like, if it's definitely going to come out this year or how sure they are about the project. It's named Dune Prophecy. It's supposed to focus on the Bene Gesserit. That's the sect that Paul Atreides' mother belongs to.
What's it called? The Harkonnens. Some of their parts were just, like, so disgusting as well.
Especially the Baron being dipped or submerged into like, whatever that's
like large and like
they're so violent and I actually like it too.
And like the way they now like shoes them like black and white or something. I don't know.
They have a black moon. Actually like their own planet.
Stuff
their
so
way of life is
somehow
is
like,
aggressive and very bro, well.
So weird.
And that guy that they cast as Fidrata, that was good casting. Because that guy did a good job. Like, he was menacing and his face was perfect for the type of character they were trying to paint. And a very iconic scene from that movie was when Paul Atreides, when he showed up that Reverend Mother, into that keep quiet, that silence. Guy, I'm telling you that how satisfying that scene was for me. I can't put it into words. Because the way that Reverend Mother, the way
and
she
moves.
And
then the mental communication between that
Reverend
Mother
and Paul's mom.
Because, like, the Bene Gesserit, they can communicate with their minds. Mm-hmm. So, like, when... I think that was before... Was it before Paul told her to keep silent?
It was after.
was after. Mm-hmm. Okay, because she was like, in the first movie, the woman, the reverend mother came to Paul's house. She came to come and test, come and test him. And she was like that. She didn't actually say he wasn't the Khrizzar Tadrak. She was just like that. She didn't say he wasn't the one. I think she was just more of like, you can never be sure. So that kind of, mm-hmm. that kind of vibe. So I don't even know why they are so like opposed to her per se, Sha. Because, okay, well, I guess why they are opposed to her, because she essentially, she's the one that wiped out their house. I think she doesn't like...
Do you remember that is insane?
I think she doesn't like their house. The reason
for wiping out Collatrice is, according to her, in quotes, they were growing out of control.
And
the only solution was to wipe out the entire family. Are you insane? And see how she said it, just casually. She didn't mind me. You wipe out an entire family.
And actually, it's like nothing. She actually suffered no repercussions.
That's what I'm saying. Like, throughout the movies, I was upset. The way she used to carry herself around, bro. See, let's not lie. There was an emperor, but she was the real don. Like, to be honest, because so many things happening in that movie, she was like the architect of like those things.
I mean, when the princess Irulan, that's her name. Especially when you read the books, I especially love it when I'm reading a book and they're like giving these like quotations. You know, in the movie, those voice recordings that she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So in the book, how it is that you'll be like, this is chapter 7, you now see a quotation at the beginning of the chapter.
Yeah.
The from the recording, what was that thing that she used to say when she's making a recording? Maybe the Imperial Diary, 2035. So at the beginning of the chapter, you just see a quotation that something like Muad'Dib was universally loved and feared and something. She had just have like a quotation. You now just see from the Imperial Diaries by the Princess Irulan, started 2035. That kind of level. That's how like each chapter starts.
That's with fun.
Like a quotation, mm-hmm. from the Princess Irulan, who is like his wife. I mean, that's his wife at this point.
The Emperor's wife, or like Paul Atreides'
wife now. The babe. Yeah.
And you see, there is a common, is it common trend? I'll call it. You know, no.
What I was going to say is that when she confronted the Reverend Mother that, did you order the, mm-hmm. like, did you advise my father to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, that, of course I did. Like, it was so blasé, like, ah.
Sure, what I was saying about, like, a common trend was, now, for Paul's father, Leto Atreides, him and his father, you know that the people that, how do I say this? Both of them didn't really marry the people that they loved. Or, yes, they didn't actually marry people that they loved. For Paul now, Paul married, or like he's going to marry, according to the movies, he's going to marry the daughter of the emperor.
Yeah.
I've forgotten her name. Irulan. Now, he doesn't love her. He loves Chani, Abi. I don't know how the books go, but what I'm imagining in my mind is that Chani is going to end up in a situation similar to his own mother. You know, his mother and Leto Atreides, they weren't married.
But it's actually different because in Leto's case, he wasn't married to anybody.
He wasn't married, full stop. I don't know what the circumstances were between Leto and Paul's mom.
Jessica, I don't know why they didn't marry.
Exactly, I don't know why they didn't marry.
Well, he wasn't married to anybody, so it was like, she was the lady of the house. She was essentially the wife. They were just not married, but in all but name.
Fair enough.
They were married, so. I didn't even understand the movies, like, why, like, Shani, she didn't now go with him.
You know, Chani,
she was always somehow like,
she's opposed to the idea. She's opposed to the Messiah idea,
but then like, what did she expect? What did she want him to do?
That's the thing. You know, it was, I don't even know. Paul really didn't. Is it? I won't say that he didn't have a choice, because now he had those visions of like the holy war happening and so many people dying as a result of the war. Yes, he was resisting
becoming Messiah.
But then he drank that one poison, the water of life or something. And then he saw some things in the past, which they didn't really make clear to us. He saw some things in the past and...
He became the Kuzata drug by drinking the stuff. So he could see the future and he could see the past as well.
Because
he could see the timeline. Let's put it like that.
And according to what he saw, he said that in so many possible timelines, they lose the war.
Yeah.
But that there is one thing... there's one very slim part that they have to tread to win. And... I understand him now accepting the role of Messiah, if that is the only way.
He is the Messiah, like, my bro drank the water of life and now he can see the future and the past. what do you mean he's not the Messiah again at this point?
This is another thing I'm saying. Those prophecies, they can't just be coincidences at this point. You know when he drank that one poison, the only reason he came back was because Chani, I don't know what she did.
The tears of Chani mixed with the poison.
That was what brought him back. And the prophecy was that something desert spring was going to bring, and that's her name.
That's her name. She was like that when he asked her for her secret name. She was like that. She doesn't like it that because it's part of some prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
This thing, what's it called? You know the Bene Gesserit. The Kwisatz Haderach is like a super Bene Gesserit.
Yeah, the eye of the afterworld.
It's like a super Bene Gesserit.
Fair.
And so the Bene Gesserit, when they put their prophecies, they're not actually lies because they can actually see the future to some extent. They can actually see the future.
First.
It's just that, you know, everything is not clear or whatever, Sha.
Yeah, they can see the future and they try to control the future.
Yes, that's it.
I don't know if
their propaganda or what.
There's some truth to what they are saying.
I
don't know if that their prophecy specified that the Kwisatz Haderach was going to be a guy.
No, it did. Yeah, I mean, it does. Yeah, because you know all the Bene Gesserit are women.
They are all women. I don't know why they are opposed to men. Russia, I kind of understand. As per men having that type of power, it will go to their heads and like Russia.
I don't even think. I'm not sure, but I don't think men can become Bene Gesserit. I don't know. I'm not sure if there's like another reason apart from the fact that they don't allow it to go.
Like ordinary men are not born with that type of power. What? Maybe it's just women.
Maybe, but no, it's not really possible because I mean. Jessica was already training Paul. She trained Paul in the Bene Gesserit ways, and he was, I mean, he was already becoming the Bene Gesserit now. He could do their stuff. He knew their ways.
For sure. I don't know, there's a lot of stuff I don't know about it. Like, but fair enough. I don't know. We've actually talked about it a lot.
It's a really good movie. Yeah. Check it out.
Definitely. Then. Okay, so moving on. I think this is season two, part two of Invincible came out.
Yeah.
And I think just 4 episodes. I don't know, like they've this is one thing I don't like about like very good projects. They start milking it. Because I don't know why they are spreading out. It's supposed to be 8 episodes for one season. They started the first 4 episodes last year.
I think they're the ones that started this stupid thing of part one, part two.
Is it then
of the season?
Is there what you mean?
Okay.
AOT is the daddy of that thing.
But I don't know. Anime, I feel like they have some sort of justification for their own. I'm not sure, but I feel like there's a reason why they did that.
Man, I don't even know. But Sha, Invincible Sha followed the same trend, and the last 4 episodes of season 2 they came out. And I'm not going to lie, there are a couple of things that happened that me I liked. First of all, Mark and Amber breaking up. I don't know why, but I just wasn't a fan of their relationship. I'm team Mark and Eve. Mark, like, Eve is one of that superpowered babe. Like, see, I'm seeing both of them. And in... I don't want to drop spoilers. In this second part of season 2 that came out, Mark was... He had a fight with one guy named Angstrom Levy. A very, very annoying villain, if I may add. I understand this plight, though. The guy is, like, a multiversal... His powers shall like they span across multiple. It can move from dimension to dimension. Yeah, so like in the different dimensions it's been to, where Omni-Man and Invincible have been on planet Earth.
Yeah.
Omni-Man has always been able to convince Invincible to take over the planet with him, and then they wreak havoc on planet Earth.
Okay, so
the guy has been to, he has experienced that thing in multiple dimensions.
Would you kill Hitler as a baby dilemma?
So now he now came to this Earth. He now wanted. But like in this earth, Mark didn't like he wasn't convinced. But like
still Omni- that. Still,
exactly, still but like he still he bought that hatred towards Mark as per all the things that all his other doppelgangers had done in the other dimensions. So he wanted to kill Mark for the sins of all his other doppelgangers and make Mark suffer. So he was torturing Mark's mom and his brother. That his brother is a whole other story on its own. He was torturing both of them like in front of Mark. Sha putting Mark through hell. Is Mark's mom was not like, doesn't he get the irony of what he's doing? He claims that Mark was the villain in all the other dimensions, but he has come to the one dimension where Mark is the hero and is Angstrom Levy that is the villain. The thing now got to his head, like he scattered his brain because the guy, if you see his head gone, you know he's not alright upstairs. Like his head is warped. He's like, I've forgotten the name of this DC villain. Is that the shark crazy like this? The guy was in Titans, Young Justice. His power is psychic like this, like Miss Marshall. I forgot the shark. Isha has like a big head and something, Sha. So the green guy was crazy. Mike Sha, he teleported both of them to another dimension, and then Mike beats Lupin and Bastard. Like, he actually beats him. And then I think Mike thought that he killed him. I don't know if he's actually dead. But Mike Sha, he beat him. He went out of control, and Isha, he killed the guy. And then Mike was like, Kiniko. Like, he was upset that maybe he had gone like in the ways of his father and stuff. Because he's a superhero that has that code that you should not kill. Well, I don't kill anybody, guys, but like, is that type of superhero that maybe you should not kill somebody or something like that. He killed the guy. And he was not like, no, I thought you were stronger. You were not supposed to die. Like, bro, the guy was shy. He was bitching up and down. Like,
nobody likes when they are just complaining and bitching. Like,
yeah. And on the planet or like the dimension he was in, time passes like differently. So the couple of minutes he was there for, years don't pass for it. And like, he has killed the guy whose power is to go through dimensions. So he cannot go back to his own dimension. He was stuck on that dimension.
Yeah.
So Shai, portal Shai opened. From like it was people from Earth, like 20-40 years had passed since he left Earth, and he was grown up Eve, and like the Guardians of Justice or whatever they call them, they came to come and rescue him. Apparently, technology had developed and they could like travel through dimensions. Yeah. The Shark came to come and take him back to his time. And then old Eve was like, when you go back, just tell Eve how you feel, like if you like her, if you don't. Like, that when he left that time in her own dimension, and she mentioned she was tortured by not having told him that she loved him, and it was cringe, but like, anyhow, I shall want them to be together. I don't see Mike and Amber. I don't really want.
Eve,
like, she did. See, that is.
Wow.
That is, what do you call it?
Did you. Were you down for them before? Like, were you into both of them being together before?
Yes.
No,
that is really... like that is future you being a wingman for your past self, right? That's some gutter shit.
I never really thought about both of them like that.
I thought
it was possible. I never really moved them. Really
but
like
anyhow, Sha. So yeah, so Invincible season 2 has finished and it was actually pretty calm. One thing I noted from this season, see, Mark is still ridiculously weak. In this season, another Viltrumite came to Earth, and guy. Mm-hmm. See, saying that she beat him is another statement. She disciplined him, like, she beat the hell out of him. And I'm just wondering how Mark wants to face, like, an army of Viltrumites. They just need to send, like, a youth that is, like, on the same level with him, but, like, has Viltrumite training. And we'll lay waste to that planet. I'm actually being for real. But, Sha, like, some of my guys told me that, according to the comics, that the guy's going to get stronger and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious to see, like, how rapid and... how it will not be ridiculous when he gets that much stronger to the level where he can face off against like an army of Ultramites.
Plot armor.
Exactly. Like, they would soon force. Anyhow, I'm curious to see it. So, that's basically it for Invincible. I think...
Shogun.
Yeah, we should talk Shogun about Shogun
Wednesdays. I think everybody should have seen that picture.
Yeah.
Of two guys cosplaying as... I didn't even know whether I would call it cosplaying because that show was perfect.
It was, and it was hard, guys.
It sets them into the show. They wouldn't look out of place.
I'm in for...
Bro.
I actually really like Shogun.
Shogun taps into the fact that anime is like a big thing now. Everybody likes anime. And then it is a normal show. I don't know what to call it. Like, it's not anime. It's like,
instead of being an anime, they like made it live action.
Thank you, live action. Sorry.
It's not live action like One Piece's live action. It's not unrealistic. It's just, it's basic.
It's normal live action, exactly. But set in a Japanese setting, right?
Do you know that? In my head, Shogun is like a Japanese type of Game of Thrones. The shogun in Japanese culture is
Game
like
of Thrones.
Exactly, Game of the Thrones, king, you have five houses, the emperor. Yeah,
here too, you have five guys that are
major top guys. They have like, their own like banner men under them.
They all, like, each of them are what's it called, dukes or something. I think they're dukes. What are they?
I forgot
those five guys. They shall have ties. They shall like dukes or barons or whatever.
It's a panel. I be a council.
Yeah, but like each one of them, they are each. Like...
See, the former shogun died, So instead, the former Shogun.
It wasn't called Shogun. It was called Emperor. Is
Shogun is a more intense. It's like Shogun is like a dictator. Yeah, like he controls everything.
Yeah, it's like a military, military head of state kind
Shogun
of vibe.
Shogun is a dictator. But like the guy before that council was formed, the emperor.
Yeah.
The emperor died, and then his heir was not of age. So
let's just start from the beginning. Shogun sets it up.
So like the emperor died, he had the heir, but the heir was not of age. Now, when he was about to die, he wanted Toranaga. That's like, it's kind of like the main, sort of like the main guy that most
Toranaga
of the stuff
is the guy that his line, his family, the last shogun.
Yeah,
is from his family.
Exactly. So he wanted Toranaga to rule in his stead until his heir came of age. But like Toranaga, he foresaw that him ruling, it would put like a rift between him and like all the other. It would in Toranaga's like mind, it would like make the, is it their country shall descend into chaos due to infighting.
We have the emperor, then we have like, let's just call them dukes. So there are like five other dukes that are like top guys in the country. So if, as the emperor was going to die now, everybody knows that, okay, the emperor's son would be in charge. But then the emperor was like that, okay, that maybe Toranaga should be like the regent.
Mm-hmm.
But Toranaga knew that these other guys, they wouldn't agree, because these other guys are also like really powerful and they wouldn't be down with that. So what the emperor now decided to do was to, let's form a council of all you
and
top
give
guys.
Give all of them like equal power.
Yeah, so the council makes the decisions. So that's how it's supposed to go.
Yeah, that's basically how we went. And then along the way, you know, definitely someone will have like, they will get agenda in between the way. They should have started hating on Toranaga, because Toranaga actually has like a close relationship with the heir. I think the heir likes him. They are close. And like, Normal, it's understandable for you to think, like, for the other houses to think that Toranaga is plotting something.
Because, like we've said, Toranaga's lineage, that's
exactly
the last shogun came
that's
from.
So
right from the time, Toranaga is that guy that...
So, it was like, it was a threat, like, him existing was a threat to all of them. So, like, they were sharp, they were plotting one way or the other to, like, get him out of the picture, sharp. So, like, a lot of stuff, sharp, happened. Toranaga was evicted. No, he wasn't evicted from the council.
They wanted to impeach him.
He left the council because they were going to take a vote and like vote to have
the whole like episode around his escape from Osaka.
It was actually calm. Like, the way he escaped, it was smart.
It was the whole
like,
thing.
It was one of his antics and stuff like that. And like that English guy, Blackton, he came in clutch for him in that episode. Because really, even for Blackton, he would not have escaped.
It shows the power of capping.
Guy,
the power of just
yapping,
mouth.
Bro.
Just
like,
open
just
your mouth and let things become
the gist they go, bro. But sure, like that's some stuff that you have to see when you watch the show yourself. The show is
we've not really spotted anything.
Yeah,
we'll set it up like.
But, like the show is
amazing.
It's very calm.
Everybody's taking
it very calm.
I don't know.
It's a show you really need to see, sure.
What's her name?
Mariko. Yeah.
Everything.
You see, like, you can see how we're feeling the show. Like, it's obvious that you need to see it.
Shogun.
So, I think we should move on from Shogun. Another show that was continued this year was Halo. The second season of Halo came out this year. And they basically picked up from where they left off.
Yeah.
And the last season ended with Ozzy being sentenced to death. And obviously, Ozzy was submitted for her to be killed. She jackpot and she left a clone for them to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've forgotten how this season started. But I know that they continued with the whole story of them looking for the Halo and trying to get it from, like, get it from the reach of the Covenant and stuff like that.
They almost never spoke about the Halo like that. They weren't even really looking for the Halo like that. Most of the intrigue of this season has been like that, okay, Klaus...
that was a very
very beautiful addition to the show, like top addition. This guy was like sort of like the main villain kind of most of the show. The show during most of the season, they've not really been about fighting the Covenant. That's been that okay.
It's more of him fighting, really.
Yeah, it's more of him fighting within the what's their stuff.
There's this administrative council called the ONI, the ONI.
They are the ones.
They are basically like in charge of like the administration.
The
primary settlement for humans in that world is called Reach.
Yeah.
So they are like the administrative body in charge of like everything on that planet. So you know. Obviously, in a world where like they've advanced technologically, it's common for them to like put everything into a simulation and be like, oh, if this type of war should happen, what are the chances of us winning and stuff like that? So the Oni, they foresaw like Reach, that's their plan, is being invaded by the Covenant, and they put it into a simulation, and they saw that they were most likely going to lose. So what they did was to not tell anybody about the coming invasion.
I did virtually get their point
of. It didn't make any sense.
Just evacuate the planet, bro.
So what they did was to not tell anybody about the coming invasion, just and just deep. Deep with just, like just the major some, the major guys. People in the ONI and some like soldiers and like who they the people they deemed to be like promising individuals and stuff. They shot deep to them and they left the planet to fend for itself.
Most of this season the conflict has been between like Klaus. So Klaus was introduced in this season as a villain. He's like part of the Oni, he's like an admiral or something. So he's is superior to Master Chief and all of these guys. So most of the conflict has been between that, okay, that, you know, Master Chief is feeling like Klaus is hiding stuff from him.
Yeah, and like this show...
What's his show, name
who?
Klaus. What's his name?
I'm forgetting his...
Bro, I can't even remember his name.
Akasin.
Yeah, and like, it was just typical, like, kind of like Klaus vibes, proper villain.
And this, you see the power of, which is not really gaslighting, but sort of they gaslit Master Chief into thinking like it was crazy. Because Master Chief's suspicions and like the stuff he was seeing, they were actually valid, but like they were trying to point him in the wrong direction from the stuff that I was seeing, but Master Chief didn't butcher. So basically, towards the end of the season 2 for Halo, they were also exploring the people who created the Halo in the show.
I think that was towards the end.
So they found a cave or something like
this.
That was... Now, in that show, you know, in season 1, they started with Madrigal, the planet Madrigal. That one, our babe. And throughout season 1, I was wondering what the relation between our story and John's story was. But they kind of reconciled it. And this is it. Although we really don't understand,
like that, but
we don't really understand. But they managed to link the two stories together. So Sha Kwana, like maybe in a past life or something, she recognized the writings on the cave, and so she was able to open like a gate to something Sha of the civilization that created the Halo. And then I understand being curious as a scientist. But like there are some times when that curiosity will legit literally kill you. And that is what happened to her. Like she didn't die, but like, oh, somebody like Alzi seeing a cave that belonged to a more advanced civilization.
Bro.
Obviously she went inside.
It's like this guy in Avatar that he went to that guy's library. That owl's library.
The owl. I forgot his name.
Yeah, the shah went to that. He even knows a thousand things or something. That guy shah went to his library. That scholar that looking for the library in his life. That he now wanted to leave. Papa said, leave me. Now I found this is my life.
Bro, she went inside. She found like a lab or something, and she saw one of like the body of one of like the. Like the body of a member of that civilization, she saw it there, and I think it was like a scientist holding on to like a capsule.
Yeah.
They took the capsule and they dipped. They went to go analyze the capsule, and the capsule released something. This was right before we started recording. I told you that the show is pivoting into like a zombie apocalypse type of stuff. That capsule, I think it contained like a spore, Sha. A spore that develops rapidly and is a parasite. So
why the hell would the scientists be holding on to that?
I don't understand, man. But the spore Sha got out and started infecting people and stuff like that.
It is a good watch.
That's how they ended season 2, Sha. And we're expecting season 3. I don't even know when season 3 will come out because it took a while for them to release the season 2.
Let's forget about season
2. Sha. Moving
Percy
on.
Jackson.
Yeah.
Like what we were seeing at the start of the show that we forgot some shows even came out this year. Percy Jackson is one of them. Like, it seems like such a long time ago, but Percy Jackson was a really good show. Really, really good. And yeah, I just really enjoyed it because, you know, I read the books, and there's this thing about reading books where the protagonists are like your age. So you like grew up with the character. So that's how Percy Jackson was. Artemis Fowl and that book like that. So yeah, Percy Jackson, we don't really want to go into it too much. It could be an entire pod on its own, but yeah, you should definitely watch.
Yeah.
Okay. So another show that came out was Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Like Percy Jackson, it's like a remake of a movie or like a show of it that they've dropped before.
So Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the original featuring
Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
So like imagine absolute banger leading stars, and the movie slapped. It was, their chemistry was on point. The action comedy is like,
it's my favorite
sort of genre. Like a holy grail of genres. It's mm-hmm. just amazing. You have lots of action, story driven action in particular, not mindless action. Jason Statham, I'm looking at you, but you know, come for me. People are always abusing me when I tell them that I don't really like Jason Statham movies because there's no point to all of this. Like, if I want to switch off my brain and just watch it, it's fine. I mean, I saw The Beekeeper.
It's prime mindless action, to be honest.
Because, I have nothing to say about it.
It's the beekeeper's responsibility.
Forget about the hive. The fact that they paid somebody to write. They actually paid a writer's room. Some people were paid to write, to come up with that. Come on now.
Anyhow, if you gave me
20k, Naira, last one, say if I can come up with a plot for all these mindless action movies for you now. I'll say they kidnapped Tunde, and Tunde is the son of a billionaire, so
he brought in one operative
to come and rescue him extraction. From the hands of what? Is that not extraction? That's his plot of extraction. Bro, let's devil go there, Sha. But Mr. and Mrs. Smith, it's a remake of that movie, yeah. And it's really good. Featuring Childish Gambino, and I don't know the name of the babe.
Yeah, she's not as popular as Childish Gambino. So
Childish Gambino, I mean, if he's based off his movie character, I mean, he's not that popular as well.
Yeah,
fair. So I really like shows that do stuff like that, that does bring up actors that are not, you know, like well known like that, uh-huh. And then just work with it. You know, Bridgerton season 3 will be dropping soon, and I'm sure it's going to take everybody by storm. I'm pretty sure it's going to be as good as all of the other seasons. They have a formula, they know what works. It's going to slap as usual. And I really like the fact where that they still bring in the casts from the previous seasons. They still show them a little bit, you know, like each season. So when they bring in the cast from each season, like, you know, maybe season 1 focused on the sister and season 2 focused on the other brother.
Yeah, so this season is going to focus on someone else, have you?
I think it's supposed to focus on, you know, that brother that is, you know, sort of friends with that
with, babe. With the lady whistledown babe.
Yeah, with lady whistledown. Oh, so, you know, the trailers have sort of teased that, like, she sort of, I think there was like a dance or something, Sha, and then like,
of course there was a dance.
Obviously, we're talking Bridgerton. So there was a dance, Sha, and like, I think the guy sort of made it clear that he wouldn't like dance with her or something like that, Sha. So Sha kind of like rejecting her. Sha had like a confrontation, and she was like really upset with him and everything, Sha. So I'm not wondering whether they would do some kind of remote, that kind of thing where the guy would not like realize her worth, her value, blah blah blah. Maybe they would not get together.
It's a cliche, Sha.
It's a bit cliche. They could do it. I'm waiting for Bridgerton season 3. It's going to be awesome as usual.
Yeah.
I think we even finish with Mr. and Mrs. Smith. It's a really great show. Action comedy, like we said, the holy grail of, you know, genres. You should watch it. It's funny. The action is great. Like,
yeah,
what's not to love?
Actually,
yeah. Okay, so I think today we've mentioned, we started with Dune 2. You know, just to recap, if you want to take your pen down, go and watch this, man. The best of this year, maybe not the best of we've seen anyway. Probably the best. If it's made a big splash this year, we'll probably have remembered it here. Okay, so Dune 2, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Invincible.
Shogun.
Halo.
Yeah, okay, and now let's just honorable mentions. Just mention Beef. Godzilla and Kong.
Godzilla and Kong, it was calm, but like, it didn't bust my head. Like, it was like the movies, like the other movies before it. Like, it was calm. I watched it in 3D and the experience was actually nice.
No, but apart from that, there's a thing about when you know what to expect from a movie, then it's fine. Like, all this mindless action. So, you know what? I actually saw The Beekeeper and I wasn't upset that I watched it. I knew what I was. But when you know what you're in for,
fair.
Then it's fine. Then it's fine. Like, if I'm watching a Jason Statham movie, I know that I just want to switch off my brain and just be watching. So, like, it's fine. Once you know what you're there, you know what you're expecting, then you cannot be, you know, your expectations cannot.
Fair enough.
So, your expectations will be met. And everything. I feel like we've given a couple of solid recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
All of these are pretty good shows or movies. Anything we're looking forward to, I think we mentioned Bridgerton. Yeah. Is there anything else that is yet to come out? Any projects coming out soon that you're looking forward to?
Well, I know the second Joker movie is coming out soon.
Okay.
I'm actually not super excited about this because I'm not really a fan of the Joker movie.
House of the Dragon.
It's coming out this year.
I do not know, but I feel, I'm not sure, but I feel like it should.
Hmm.
When was last season? Was it last year?
I'm not even sure.
Doesn't feel that long ago, Sha. Probably was last year, so maybe it's not yet coming out. But yeah.
But yeah, apart from that, I think the other projects that I'm excited about, they are animes. Demon Slayer is coming out next month. I think One Punch Man, after like 7 years, is coming out in July, I think. Yeah, that's... Oh, and season 2 of Solo Leveling, a very good...
Oh, it's Solo Leveling. Oh, have you seen Ninja Kamui?
No, I haven't.
Ah, it's a really good show. Yeah. Really good
but show. Like season 2 of Solo Leveling is coming out later this year. They said around 4. I've read the manual of Solo Leveling and it's actually incredible. But yeah, so that's basically it. Do you have anything you want to add?
Nah, I think we can just leave off here.
Okay, and there you have it, folks. It's been a pleasure recording this podcast, and we'll see you in the next one.
Yeah, bye-bye.